Hey, you know, most of you know me really well. I get emotional when I get messages like Pastor Eric does. So you guys can chit-chat amongst each other. So when's Paul going to break down? Okay, a minute into his message, you got four choices. A minute into his message, when he talks about being born again, or he talks about how the love he has for the person that mentored him early on in his Christian walk, or can he make it through the whole message without crying? Go ahead, chit-chat. All right, let's open with prayer. It's a short prayer. Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds this morning to be receptive to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. To give this message, I want to thank Pastor Eric and the Deacon Board for asking me to do this again. I was going to give this message the last Sunday of December, but we got snowed out. So here we are, a month later. The title of the message is God's Word, the Bible, and it's alive. You'll need three things this morning: an open heart, your Bible, and get your cell phone ready. Okay? Take your cell phone out and get it ready. I'm going to talk about the importance of God's Word in our lives this morning. It's January 2020, and I would guess most preachers around the country had some kind of New Year's message the first week of January, right? That's what churches usually do and pastors usually do. And telling you can start over January 1st. You can start over. Maybe they'll encourage you to start a new devotional. Maybe you can read the Bible in a year. January 1st is a good time to start that, or lose weight or join a gym, that kind of stuff. And make a New Year's resolution. Anybody make a New Year's resolution this year? Anybody? Have you kept it? No, everybody, hands goes down then, okay? You know, this is a little different. The pastor's sitting in the front row. Usually he's not here, so I feel pressure. I've never felt that before. All right. You know, I could have gone that route and stayed on my New Year's message that I had prepared. I kind of have kept the same message, but I tweaked it a little bit since we're not on January 1st anymore. I was really encouraged by Janet's message a month or so ago. Her message, okay, we're almost into the sermon a minute here. Who guessed that? Okay. I was really encouraged by Janet's message that Sunday. Even though I wasn't here personally, I've listened to it twice online. And her message was to challenge us to go deeper with God. And Pastor Eric, he is encouraging us as a church to go deeper with God this year and to reach out into our community and to share Christ in our community. So I'm going to challenge myself this morning and want to challenge you in 2020 to go deeper with God. And a good start this morning would be to bury our heads in His Word. My Bible's too big. I was going to hold it up. Bury our heads in His Word more than what you've been doing. Whatever you've been doing, maybe this year you can do it a little more. So to start with, we're going to let God's Word speak to us this morning. This is really going to be a different kind of message. When I walked in, Luke asked me this morning, is my message going to be short? I said, yes, my message is going to be short, but we're going to do something at the end, kind of splitting the time up here a little bit. So it's going to be a little different. I want to worship with you this morning by pondering on His Word. There's going to be two words you're going to hear a lot this morning: meditating and pondering. And so I want to worship you with us this morning by pondering on His Word, by letting Scripture verses speak to us. And more about that later. Are you looking for a good book to read in 2020? Who likes to read books? Okay. Put his hand. A brother grabbed his hand and put it down. I saw that, Carter. Well, this is it. This is the book to read in 2020. You can read this book over and over and over again and still miss something. Or you can read it over and over again and learn something new. Every time you read the same story, you always get something different on it. Why is that? I have a couple books here. Some friends wrote these books. And it's about the Sioux Uprising and about the building C, those sanatoriums. And these books are emotional. They got great stories in it. But it doesn't really penetrate your heart like the Bible does. You know what I mean? Do you understand that? If my friends are listening on the radio, sorry. You really got good books. This lady's from Dawson, this lady's from Benson that wrote these books. I encourage you to read them too if you want. I'll loan them out. But you can read this Bible. You know, it's got everything. It's got history. It's got drama. It's got action. And ladies, it's got romance. Did you know that? It's got romance. It's got political stuff in it, science, and much more. The best part of this book, though, is it's alive. Look at your Bible in front of you. Hold your Bible if you got it. Or your cell phone if you got your Bible on your cell phone. Look, just look at it for a minute. If you believe that, if you believe it, this thing will change your life for eternity. Joshua 1:8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Who doesn't want to be prosperous and successful? Read that last sentence. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Joshua 1:8 gives us insight on how we can have success. The verse says that we must meditate in the word day and night. Let's talk about that word meditation. I found a few things while doing my research on this. What exactly is meditation? Well, it's whatever you focus on, it kind of grows within you if you focus on that thing. Now, I have ADD, attention disorder deficit. Is that what it is? I don't even know what he called it. But I have that. So whatever you focus on, you need to focus on it, and it begins to grow within you. And whatever grows within you, guess what? That's what you become. Let me say it again. Whatever you focus on grows within you, and whatever grows within you, you become. God says this, focus on me and my glory, and you will be transformed into my likeness. Dictionary description of meditation. Christian meditation is actually a form of prayer. If you think of it like that, it is a structured attempt is made to become aware of and reflect upon the revelations of God. So it's a deliberate attempt, such as a Bible verse, meditate on a Bible verse, and reflecting on the meaning in the context of the love of God. So what does it mean to ponder? Is that kind of the same thing? Ponder something in your heart. You hear that in Psalms a lot. It means to think about something carefully in your head, to weigh it in your mind. And it implies a very serious process of mental activity. And for me, that's, I got to really practice that. You know what I mean? You got to ponder, take time, carefully think about something in your head or weigh it in your mind. This book is powerful. Amen. And in my opinion, it's the greatest thing we have on earth. Think of some great things. Go ahead, shout them out. Some great things that you can think of.
Cars.
Car, automobile. What?
Cheesecake.
Yeah. You took mine. I was going to say tacos.
Tacos.
How about electricity? Remember when electricity came on? Anybody?
Are you kidding?
Okay. Bob, how are you doing? Good? Okay. I'm not picking on you. Bob probably really remembers that. That was a huge deal, especially around the rural area here, when electricity was it. Plumbing, indoor plumbing. Yep. All that, this is more powerful than electricity, cheesecake, tacos. Really, it is. That's my opinion. And guess what? We have access to it. Easy access to it. We thank the Lord for that. and it's a life changer. All right, a little personal story. April 5th, 1985, I walked into a large church by myself, walked down the aisle, went up to the front of the altar, physically laid on the altar, and asked the Lord to forgive me for my sins. And I wept like a baby. I was the only one in the church. And I wept like a baby, asking God to forgive me for my sins. I was a terrible sinner. A couple months prior to that, I'd been watching a television evangelist on TV, and every time I listened to him, the Holy Spirit was working inside me. And I realized I was a sinner. And I laid there, and I asked God to forgive me for my sins, and asked Jesus to come into my life. That was April 5th, 1985, 3:15 in the afternoon. I got up, I walked down the aisle, out of the church, and I've never been the same since.
Amen.
I always say this, the old Paul Ramo died on that altar this morning. When I walked through the doors outside in the sunshine, I was a new person. New person, and I felt it. When I asked Jesus to come in my life, and I felt this, I actually felt this, laying on that altar, I felt like someone put a warm blanket over me.
That's right.
I actually felt it, like somebody was putting a warm blanket over me. When I got up, when I was going out the doors, I met another couple coming in, an older couple, and they thought something was terribly wrong with me because I was lost. I was losing it. It was joy, tears of joy. It wasn't tears of sadness. So I say that because I went home right away. I said to Roxy, went in the house, I told her what happened, and I said, I know I have a Bible here. I know I have a Bible someplace. We searched every closet, and in our bedroom we have a little cubby hole built into the wall. It's like a kitchen cupboard, but it's built in the wall. It's a little small, and that's where it was, way in the back. And it was just a little good news book that I had in high school that I had for Wednesday night teaching. And I sat in that chair. Okay, who has this? Who voted on this? Okay. I sat in that my chair, probably around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I remember the TV evangelist saying, start reading Gospel of John. So that's what I did. Guess what? I just started reading it. In John 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. You must be born again. And I'm going, it was like the words just came off the page and hit me. That's what I just did. In my heart, that's what I just did. Then Jesus says, flesh gives birth to flesh. He's telling Nicodemus, flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. You must be born again. And I remember sitting in my chair crying. I read the Gospel of John a couple times. I read the book of Acts. And then all of a sudden it was 3:30 in the morning. I'm still sitting there. And I loved every minute of it. It was like the words were just getting into my heart. I had a hunger for it. And it was one of the most amazing moments of my life.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, I love that moment in my life. About 8 hours. Yep. I was soaking it in like a big sponge. The words were alive to me. The book was alive to me for the first time. And it was that moment in my life that I'll cherish forever, as actually I fell in love with the Word of God then. Fast forward a couple months down the road, Roxy and I, Calvary started in 1985. A couple months after that happened to me, we got invited by some friends to come to Sunday night services here at Calvary. That's when we just had the A-frame. And we did. And we loved it. It was Sunday night services from 7 to 8. And Pastor Bob Hotchek, who was here at the time, we sang a hymn to start with, and then he taught maybe 10, 15 minutes. And then he opened it up to discussion. And that's what the service was at the time. Just in the little A-frame there was just a handful of us. Roxy and I would be here at 6:30 parked out front every Sunday waiting for somebody to open the door. That's how hungry we were for the Word of God. I remember that. Harlow and Denise were joining at the same time. And it was a special time. Sunday night service. Pastor Bob Hacek became my mentor. One night after Sunday, and we talked about this when he was, Pastor Bob and Pauline were here at Isabel's funeral. We laughed about it and talked about it. Pastor Bob told me one Sunday night, "Paul, I was a young Christian. Paul, if you ever have questions about the Bible, feel free to call me or come over." Okay, now if you know where I live, Pastor Bob lived two blocks down the same street. I can see his house from my house. Big mistake on his part. Four instances, I went over there all the time. Seriously. The church office was actually in his house because we didn't have this little addition where Pastor Eric's office is. No, we didn't have that then. The church office was in his home. And we would sit in that office and I'd bring my Bible and ask my question. He would answer it. I did that a lot. Four things I remember. The biggest one was I had a question. I was reading scripture and I had a question and I got out my front door, looked down. Oh, yeah. So I walked down there. The porch was open, but there's a porch. You open the porch door and then a door. And I could see the door was open, so I opened the porch door. "Pastor Bob?" "Yeah, come on in, Paul." So I walk in. Here's his whole family eating supper. Pauline, Stacy, was it? And Matt, eating supper. And they welcomed me. And I sat down, had my Bible, and I said, "Pauline, a very good hostess, you know. Stacy made strawberry cheesecake, Paul, for dessert. Great. Hey, tell me something about John the Baptist," I said. "John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And he said, here's the Son of God. And a couple chapters later, John's in prison telling his friends to go find Jesus and ask him if he's the Son of God. What's up with that?" That was my question. Then we ate strawberry shortcake. Another time I went over there, they were sitting in the porch enjoying a nice summer evening. And I go, "Hey, I read this thing about Judas. What's wrong with Judas? Why did he betray Jesus?" You know, and he was kind enough to take time to tell me, or we talked about it. And another time I went over there, sat in his office, and I said, "Boy, where did Jesus and the 12 disciples get all their money? What was their salary? And where did they sleep at night?" These are things a young Christian was thinking. I just hounded Pastor Bob about this. You know what? He opened me with open arms. I bothered him a lot. And I thank him for sticking with me. You know, he could have said, "Not now." But he stayed with it. Okay. Have you ever picked up your Bible and said a quick prayer asking God to speak a specific situation, then flipped open the Bible, pointed at a verse, hoping that you would read the answer? Hey, anybody ever done that? Okay. Well, I think most of us have done that, but it points out our misunderstanding of how God intends to speak to us through His Word. But He can do that. The Bible is more than just words on a page. Let me repeat that. The Bible is more than just words on a page. It was written by human authors, but guided entirely by the Spirit of God. Right? Yes. Also, it is a living text that interacts with us as God interacts with Himself and us. We spend time studying and applying it to our lives. Okay, here's the other part. Satan... What's Satan want to do? Satan's target is your mind. And his weapons is lies. Right? Back to Pastor Bob. I went out. I'm serious on this one. It was like 10:30 after the news. I stuck my head out my front door, and I saw his light was still on. So I ran down there. I did. I ran down there. And I said, "Pastor Bob, I didn't do my devotion this morning. I missed it. I missed doing a devotion. I felt so guilty. I didn't read my Bible this morning." He goes, "You're human. Satan wants that. He wants to have your mind." So fill your mind with things from above. That's what Paul tells the Romans. Now, I remember Pastor Bob saying that. Fill your mind with things of God. Because Satan wants your mind. His weapon is lies. So fill your mind with God's word. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to divine soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Okay, we're going to watch about a four-minute video of Billy Graham at Madison Square Garden in 1957. It's in black and white. Okay, just to warn you. We're going to have the lights down. And just let me mention a little bit here. Billy Graham started a crusade at Madison Square Garden in 1957, and it was only scheduled for 6 weeks. It went 16, filled every night. Billy talks about how to read the Bible and what the Word of God does to you, how the Holy Spirit works in your soul as you read His Word. The Holy Spirit is at work here. And let's watch a short video.
And then the second thing is reading the Bible. Now the purpose of the Bible is to testify of Jesus Christ. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation points to Christ. On Thursday night of this week, I'm going to tell you how to study the Bible, how to read the Bible, how to understand the Bible. I only touch on it tonight. Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Now, the Bible says that not only do we grow physically, but down inside of you is a soul. Physically, you have eyes and ears and nose and hands and feet. But living inside of you is your personality, your soul, your mind, your memory, your personality. That is your soul. That is your spirit. Now, if you spend all of your time on your physical development, most of you look like you've eaten three pretty good meals today. You haven't neglected eating today, have you? You didn't neglect dressing, looking in the mirror, taking care of your physical needs, but what about your spiritual needs? You've taken care of your physical needs today, but none for the soul. And the soul is going to live forever. The body dies and goes to the grave, but the soul lives on. And you've spent all your time feeding your body, but none for the soul. Now, how do you feed the soul? What is the food you give to the soul? It is reading the Bible, the Word of God. And I don't care who you are, you cannot live a victorious life if you neglect Bible reading and Bible study. Every time a person comes to me and says, I'm not getting my prayers answered, I have no victory in my life, I have no joy in my life, I don't have the peace in my life that I know I should have as a Christian, I ask them one question. Are you reading your Bible daily and studying your Bible? Usually the answer, they bow their head and say, no, not very much. God has a message for you in this book. Read it, study it, meditate on it. Now here's how to read the Bible. Read it reverently. It's an interview with Almighty God. Read it with expectancy. Come to the Bible expecting God to speak to you. And read till He does speak to you. Now, maybe you'll only read one verse. Meditate on that verse. Maybe you'll read a whole chapter. Meditate on that chapter. Come with expectancy that every time you open the Scriptures, God has a message for you. And then read it with dependence. The Holy Spirit inspired the writing of this book, and the Holy Spirit can interpret this book to you. And I have come to many points in the Bible that I did not understand, and I would get on my knees and I say, Lord, show it to me. And I found the meaning of that passage on my knees by the Holy Spirit. And then take adequate time with the Bible. Don't just read a verse and do it as a duty and as a ritual and close the Bible. Take time. Take 15, 20, 30 minutes. And you ought to do it every morning. Before you leave your room in the morning or before you leave the house, spend a half an hour in prayer and Bible study and Bible reading, and I'll tell you the day will go totally different. You'll be walking on air. There will be a joy in your soul. There'll be a spring in your step. There'll be a smile on your face. There'll be a total different attitude toward life if you will get in the habit of reading your Bible and spending time in prayer every morning.
You want to listen to Billy or me? Powerful stuff. So as we end the message this morning, I want to worship with you while reading Scripture and letting the Word of God speak to your spirit. We're going to take 5-10 minutes maybe at the most and put some Scripture up on the board. This is where you can get your cell phones out. I'd like you to take a picture of a Scripture that maybe touches you, means a lot to you. Take a picture of it and use it in your quiet time this week, or discuss it in your small groups this week. Okay? You don't need to take a picture of every Scripture unless it really every Scripture moves you. You can do that. So get your cell phones out. Go ahead and take a picture and let me be in it. Just a snapshot. Test it out. Okay? You got a picture there, Luke? Good. It works all right? All right. So we're going to play some music. Let's worship God by meditating on His Word this morning. Music will be playing. Meditate and ponder. Meditate and ponder the words that you see on the screen. And let God speak to your heart. Ponder the Scriptures. Let's make this a holy moment. Let's pray. Father God, we love you so much today. Thank you for your word that you give us, which is truth and water for our souls. Search me, Lord. Know me and guide me in the way that I should go as I stay focused on you and planted in your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Scriptures. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.